Good morning. Our numbers look a little fewer than usual. Or is it just me? But as usual, we're kind of all on this side, except for a few. So, A students, okay. This is the B ones over here? I think we could start a good fight here this Thursday morning if we're not careful. Well, I'm blessed once again to be here, and I know that in a few minutes you will be too. I'm going to be inviting Brian Atwell to come up. He is, of course, one of our AFCO students, and he has quite the testimony of how the Lord has worked in his life to bring him here. So I'm just going to invite Brian to come on up. Brian?
Good morning. I'd just like to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us here this morning, Lord. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share the grace and the love that you have shown in my life, Father. I pray that you would hide me behind your cross and that this would be a testimony of your grace and not of anything of me. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as Eric said, my name is Brian Atwell. I live about 6 hours south on the Central Coast. But I kind of have grown up a little bit everywhere. I was born on the East Coast in North Carolina, bounced around the country, ended up in Washington, traveled down, ended up in L.A., and that's where I resided for most of the time. I grew up in a house with a father who was an alcoholic and a mother who was also unstable, and we kind of moved around a lot. I went to 14 different schools before fourth grade, and so I kind of learned early that it was easier for me if I made up who I was and just kind of, instead of putting myself out there and then in a couple months leaving and being hurt, you know, that nobody really cared, it seemed like. So I became pretty early on a good storyteller and kind of just made up a past for myself. Everywhere I went, I was a different person every time. And so that's kind of how my growing up went. Fourth grade, my parents got divorced and my dad got sober, and he was moving up north, and me and my brother went with him. And so that was the first year that I completed 1 year of school at one school, you know, and it was a new experience. But I found that my old ways were still there. You know, I was still, every couple of months, I would abandon the group of friends I had and start a new one and make up who I was. You know, only people there knew me still. It wasn't like before when I was in a new area, nobody knew me, you know. So rapidly, I started losing friends by them being like, oh, you know, what's up with this guy? And so it went like that for a while, to where I was pretty pressed to keep friends, you know. Now it wasn't on my own terms. It was, you know, I was seen as that weird guy, you know, that was always lying, and nobody wants to spend time with that kind of person, you know. So fast forwarding, you know, basically in between junior high and high school, there was a group of older people, you know, during the summer, and I started spending time with them, you know, and they were of the maybe not the best crowd, you know, and they were doing partying and stuff like that. I started smoking cigarettes, which progressed to drinking and to drugs, and basically by my sophomore year of high school, I was just barely going to school every once in a while. You know, I was an intelligent kid, and we did the SATs in seventh grade, and all of my stuff was high school level or above. But my social problems led me to realize, you know, that wasn't the cool person. You know, the smart guy wasn't the cool guy. People didn't want to hang out with the smart guy, you know. And so I kind of pushed all that aside to be who I thought somebody else wanted me to be. You know, I wanted to be what you wanted me to be and what you wanted me to be, you know, so that I'd be accepted. And so that led downhill rapidly. like I said, I got into drinking and to drugs. And I learned after sophomore year, my teacher told me that I wasn't going to be moving on, and he suggested that I take what's called a proficiency test, and then I could be done with school and be out of there. So I was like, oh, awesome, you know. And so I went and I took that, you know, and I passed it, and then I was 15 years old, and I was no school, no worries, you know. And so I got a full-time job, and so now I'm a kid that has a lot of money and nothing to occupy my time. So I began getting deeper and deeper. I began selling drugs and just basically running the streets, partying, and hanging out with people far in excess of my age, you know. And and I was going downhill fast. I was spent a lot of time in and out of jail. My dad was working, you know, to support us by himself. And so he wasn't around a lot. So there wasn't, he didn't know what to do either. It was kind of like we had free rein. Fast forwarding again, you know, now I've been doing this stuff on and off. And, so the last time, you know, I kind of, during this time, I had friends that kind of went to church, but they weren't really, you know what I mean? They'd go to church, but then we'd still be partying on the weekend. So I was like, okay, you know, I'll go to that. I don't know why I wanted to go to it. And I had some strange experiences. You know, I went to a Pentecostal church with one of my friends once, and these people started, you know, doing what they do and saying weird stuff and flailing around. I was like, this is crazy, you know, but it was like a funny thing. We're sitting there laughing. I'm like, look at these, you know, and I didn't know. I just thought it was whatever, you know. And so there was a lot of weird experiences like that. Excuse me. I don't know why I chose to go, you know, but so this was on and off, and it started getting worse and worse, you know. It began progressing. I moved on from, you know, I was mainly marijuana and drinking was my thing, and it started getting to whatever somebody had, you know. I drank enough, and whatever you got going on, well, let's do that, you know. And my life was steeply declining. At 23 years old, I was a general manager of a Domino's Pizza restaurant franchise, and I thought I was good, you know. I'm also still now growing marijuana in my house, you know, and selling this on the side. You know, this was just a front job so that, you know, it looked like I had income coming. And progressively, things started happening, and I decided I should stop coming to work drunk. And so the first day I come to work and I'm not drinking, an employee, you know, gives me an attitude, and I assault them in front of a camera, and I get fired. So I'm like, I got a lot of money in the bank, and I don't have any worries, you know. And basically, the money was gone, and I was driving home one day, and the lights come on behind me, you know, and so I pull over. And at this time, I have what they call a medical marijuana license, so legally I can carry and possess that because it's for my medical reasons or something like that. And so I get pulled over, and they go, sir, you know, we have to tell you, it smells like marijuana in your car. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I have a lot in here. And they're like, okay, well, and I said, I have a card, though, for it. And I go to get my wallet's not there. And so that legally constitutes a search of my vehicle. And so they search the vehicle. I also have a lot of money and, you know, some things in order to sell drugs. And they're like, well, what is all this for? And granted, I've been arrested many times. I know how to speak to the police. I know how to get around certain things. And a voice goes, well, I sell drugs. And then I went, whoa, why did I say that? You know, and I don't know where that came from, you know. And they're like, okay, well, why don't you come with us? You know, and so it's just like, I don't know what's going on. That this is like crazy. Now I'm sitting in jail. I go to court, and now I'm trying to fight this thing. And I'm saying, well, you know, this. I don't know what was going on. It was crazy. but basically, one day after court, I go with my dad out to lunch. I had been released on my own recognizance, granted that I would appear in court. And I'm just like yelling in this restaurant. I'm like, well, you know what? All I can do now is drink, because now they're going to drug test me, and I don't know what's going on with my life. And he invites me to come to an AA meeting with him. He's been sober for 15 years now. And so I'm like, oh, you know, I don't know. And he says, well, it might help you get off on this court thing. So I'm like, oh, okay. You know, and so I start going to these meetings, and I don't know what happened in there, but slowly, you know, things started to change. One of the things is that, you know, that you should find a higher power. You know, it's not specified that it's God, but it's just anything that's greater than yourself. Because if you're your greatest thing in the world, then you're in bad shape. And I kind of brushed that off for a while, and I just kind of tried to walk through what else they were trying to teach. And one day I left, and I was happy. Everything was great. You know, I'm leaving one of the meetings. You know, everything's good, and I'm driving down the street. And all of a sudden, like, this anger comes over me, and because this person in front of me is going too slow, and I just stomp on the gas pedal. I'm going to ram my car up the back of this car in front of me, and I have like a tiny car, and it's like it weighs like nothing, and it's made out of sheet metal almost, and I don't know what I'm doing, and like right at the last second, literally, like I almost hit him. I swerved, and then I just started crying, and I was just like, "What is going on with me? I'm like a wreck, you know." And I got home. And I didn't know what to do. And I got down and I prayed. And I was like, God, if you're real, you need to do something. Because I don't know what is going on in my life right now. And like I felt like a peace. Like I seriously, I cried for a while, like crazy. And but then I had like this peace, and I went to sleep, and I woke up, and I felt different, you know. And I was still, you know, kind of living my life how I was. You know, I wasn't drinking or using drugs, but I was still doing a lot of stuff that wasn't right. And but slowly, I'd feel wrong about it. Like I would say something, and I'd be like, oh, I shouldn't have said that, you know. And I wouldn't apologize, but it was like this feeling. And slowly, it started working. I started realizing that I was not thinking about it, but I wasn't saying certain things that I used to say. I wasn't doing some of the certain things that I used to do. And it was like, man, you know, this must be God, you know? And, but it was still kind of whatever, you know. And at this time, I'd gotten a job, you know, that whole time that I always forget. I'd been homeless that whole last 6 months. I was, 23 years old. I was homeless, and I was just somehow getting enough money to make it down to the bar to get drunk for that evening, you know. And up until the point that I went to these meetings, and I spent 3 months going to these meetings living behind a pizza place, you know. And my dad had a 5-bedroom house with 3 unattended rooms, you know, but he said if he would have brought me in there, then he would have been living my life for me, you know. And I think if he would have, I don't think I would have made the choices I made, because he always rescued me when I had issues. But so at this time, I got a job through one of the people at these meetings that he was working in the oil fields. And I started working out there. And I went to a meeting one day that were mostly held in churches. And they are having a book sale. And I saw a Bible there, and it was for sale for $1. And I was like, oh, I should buy one of these, you know. And so I bought it, and I had it in my house for a while. And moving forward, I got my own apartment. So I'm like living in this little apartment by myself in this town of like 1,100 people. You know, I don't know anybody. And it's right by my work. And so I'm just kind of going to work, and I'm sitting at home. And one day something was like, why don't you pick up that Bible and read it? And I was like, okay, you know. And I didn't grow up with any church background, you know, but I was an avid reader of novels and stuff. So I picked it up like a book, and I opened the first page, and I started reading it. And it was just like, wow, you know, this stuff is amazing, you know. And there was just so much going on, and it was exciting. I would spend all my time. I would go to work. I'd come home. I'd start reading the Bible, you know. And it began to the point where now I'm like taking it to work. And I'm the weird guy in the oil fields, you know, because it's like most of the people were either cons, ex-cons, or, you know what I mean, just people that, you know, a rough crowd. And they're looking, they're like, who's the weird guy that brings his Bible to work, you know? And they're like, why isn't he sitting over here making fun of people with us? He's over there in the corner with his Bible. And, you know, but I was excited, and I didn't know what I was learning. You know, I was reading. I found out later that I was the Spirit was leading me to what I was reading. But I'd come across things, and I'd talk to them. I'd be like, did you guys know that the Bible says we're not supposed to eat pork? And they're like, that's the Old Testament, brother. You're going to have to buy a farm and get a lot of animals, because you're going to do sacrifices if you live like that. And I'm like, what? And I was so discouraged, you know, because I'm like, well, how do I not understand this, you know? And so a family that I knew went to church, and they're like, why don't you come with us, you know? And so I started going to their church, and it was a non-denominational Christian church, you know. And I started listening to what the pastor was saying. I'm like, wow, you know, this is awesome, you know. I'm like excited, and basically, like I started wanting really to get involved in that, and you know, very rapidly they appointed me as a deacon, you know. And so I'm working for this church. I'm excited, and one day the Lord tells me that I should quit my job, you know. And I just got a promotion. I'm a crew pusher now out in the fields, and I'm making good money. And he says to quit my job, and I start looking for another job, you know. And I feel it says, you know, quit your job again. Like a week later, I'm like, I can't find another one. It said, I will sustain you. And I was like, okay, you know. And so I go shaking, and I give my notice to my boss. And he's like, oh, somebody else hired you? And I was like, no, God told me to quit. And he's like, okay. And everybody's thinking that I'm crazy. I'm hearing all these rumors going around in the fields that I'm going to drink some Kool-Aid. And like, people just have no idea, and I have no idea. It comes down to my last day, and I'm like, okay, well, I still don't have a job, you know. And I leave work that day, and I'm like, okay, I don't know what I'm gonna do now, you know. The whole time they're telling me, you can retract that step, come on, we'll let you stay, you know. And I'm like, no, I just have to do it. And man, it was really a test of faith, because I went the first month without a job. Now I had money saved up, so I wasn't too concerned, but first month without a job, and I was like, oh, you know, God has a plan. But during this time, I have all this free time. And so I'm spending 4 or 5 hours in the Word every day, and I'm just like excited. I'm studying, I'm learning all this new stuff. And I go to the church, and I'm talking to the pastor about it. He's like, well, we happen to have a position that just opened at the church if you want to come and work, you know. And so I'm like, okay. And I start working there for him. And within the first week, he's like, you know, I would like you to start training under me to be my associate. You know, I'm like, okay, awesome. You know, and so I started doing this stuff, and I'm just like, I'm getting involved in the church, you know, and I'm doing God's work. But this whole time, I had like this fear. I didn't want to share my faith with anyone, you know, unless somebody asked me, then I'd tell them about it. But I didn't want to talk about it really. And but I was like, you know, that's just something that will come, you know. And so I'm working under him, and he's trying to find me schools to go to. And every time I pray about it, I feel like the Lord says, you know, your teaching is not going to come from man; it will come from me. And so I just thought that meant, oh, he just wants me to study myself and learn it, you know. And, you know, I later found out that he was talking about the doctrines of men and the doctrines of God, you know. And it was, but so I'm doing this, and I'm working through with this church, and things are starting to, like, I'm starting to see, because I'm there constantly, like, just weird stuff that's going on, you know. And this was a non-denominational church where the pastor was the highest authority in the entire church. So it was, you know, it was a small group, and it was just a weird situation. And slowly God was revealing things to me. And but this whole time, this went on for almost 6 months. Every time I'd go to pay my bills, I had just bought a new truck, I'd bought all this stuff, and I had like $750 worth of bills every month. And I'd go to pay my bills, and I'm like, all right, we'll see how much I have, you know. And I'd open up go to the ATM, and I have the same amount of money every single month. And I was just like, man, this is crazy, you know, like God said he was going to provide it, and I haven't seen a decrease. Sometimes I had more money than I had. I mean, it was truly amazing. And this went on for a while, and then basically the money started going down. And I had like $350 left, roughly, and I had a bill. I was still paying off my court things. I'd been charged with this charge for selling drugs. I got charged with a felony, but they waived time. I was facing 3 years in prison. They said, we'll waive time and see how you do for the next 3 years on probation, and if you do, then we'll let it pass. So I'm still paying fines for that, and I have like I'm paying $50 a month, and something says, you need to pay off the rest of that. I'm like, but I don't have enough money, and I got rent coming up. And he says, pay it off, and I pay it off, and that night at prayer meeting, one of the ladies says, hey, I'd like you to come work for my company. My manager just quit. And so I start working for her at a shop, and basically, it's a terrible environment. She's, you know, I'm like, this is a Christian woman from my church, but she's so angry and so, you know, all this stuff. And so I'm working for her, and I'm praying. I'm like, God, this is not where I want to be. You know, I'm angry and I'm not happy. And basically, I talked for too long, so I'm going to try and cut it short. I went to a job one day, and it was something that I had to go to another shop to bring parts, and it was somewhere where I never would have gone before to do this job. They never have time. And I called him, and he said, yeah, I have time, and I can do it right now. And I was like, oh, okay. And I showed up, and he has this little flyer on his desk for a series that says War in Heaven. And I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, that looks cool. I got one of these in the mail. And he's like, yeah, you should come, you know. And long story short, I go to this meeting. And a week before this, I was praying, and I'm studying in my room, and something said, write my commandments on your door. And I'm like, that's weird, you know, because that's the Old Testament stuff, you know. But I'm like, whatever, you know, and I'm writing it out. And so for a week, I'm like looking at these as I'm going out my door and coming in. And the first night I go to this series is on the law. I missed the first weekend. And so I go, and it's on the law, and he starts talking. I'm like, whoa, you know, this is crazy. You know, these are all questions that I had. I've been studying with five different churches while I'm working for this church, and I'm asking all these same questions. Why did Jesus expand on the commandments if he was going to do away with them in 4 years, you know? And I'd get all these different answers, but they never made sense. And I heard the pastor start talking. I was like, man, this is awesome. And I was praying afterwards, and the Lord was like, this is what I've been trying to show you, you know? And it was just like, and since then it's been amazing. And that was only about 5 months ago. That was a year ago. I just got baptized 5 months ago into the church. But I went back to my pastor, and I'm telling him about all this, and he's, you know, not very thrilled, and he's talking to me about it. And I felt convicted. I was going on Sabbath and then coming on Sunday to my church, and I felt like the Lord told me, you know, when you stand in front of that congregation, you're telling them that you approve of everything that this church believes. And I was like, I can't do that. So the next Sabbath was a church cleanup day, and I showed up in a suit, and it seemed apparent that I wasn't coming to work. And he goes running into his office, and he comes out with a stack of papers like this big, and he's like, I did a study on these Seventh-day guys for you, you know, and you should check this out. I'm like, okay. And I start looking at it. And man, there was some stuff, and I'm like, this is crazy. And I grab my Bible, and I start looking at it, because they're giving references to prove their point. And I'm looking at it, and half of them, the references they give solidify the point they're trying to prove against. And the other ones, I couldn't figure out. And through studying that packet and with the pastor, that packet of negative information to deter me from the Seventh-day Adventist Church to show me that I needed to make a decision to become baptized in this church. Because, I mean, all the stuff that they were like, look at, they say this, they say this. And I'm like, and I'm writing next to them, like, well, the Bible says this. And the Bible, you know, and I mean, God has worked mightily throughout all the times, even when I wasn't seeking him, you know, he was still leading me. And, you know, I just praise God that he led me to where he is today. I had never heard of AFCO or Amazing Facts. And I was trying to go to Army Bible Camp, and I started talking to people, and they're like, oh, you know, you should go to AFCO, you know. And basically 2 weeks before it started, the door was open and I was able to go, you know. And, you know, God is awesome. And I just praise him for all that he does. So, I think I went over time, sorry. All right, close with prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the work that you do constantly. And I praise you for the opportunity to share the grace and the love. I pray that you be with us now as we go out our separate ways, Lord. Lead us and guide our paths and help us to keep our eyes focused upon you. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you soon.